There's a familiar saying, or at least familiar to most of us, that payback is, and fill in your favorite unpleasant kind of thing. I often hear it at work, that payback is a, as I said, an unpleasant thing. And I was thinking about that, and we tend to look at payback or being paid back, and we put it in those categories. And as I was looking at this, and as Walter and I were talking briefly this morning, I intentionally put it in this way, that payback is sometimes wonderful, because I wanted us to get some idea, or at least change our ideas about this whole notion of being paid back. Because sometimes being paid back is much more than we ever would have imagined. I'm especially fond of this passage in Joel. I like the book Joel. It's in the Bible. I'm not allowed to dislike it, I don't think. But there are some parts of the Bible that I think we all struggle with. We don't understand them, or they don't connect with us, or whatever it might be. And then there are those other passages that, for whatever reason, have really hit and stuck with us. They ring in this new way. And for me, Joel chapter 2 is very much one of those. And it's for two reasons, I think. I mean, one is sort of the second half, if you will, that we read, that also shows up in Acts, where we hear about how at some point God will pour out his Spirit on all people and these extraordinary and astounding things will happen. But for me, the most important part is actually found in verses 25, 26, and 27. And it's for a very personal reason. It's not just the theological reality of the text, where Joel says that God is telling his people that God will repay his people for the years the locusts have eaten. And it has a resonance with me because I can still remember as clearly as if it happened yesterday, standing in the kitchen talking to my mother. This is after I had gone to Bible college, or was in the middle of my undergraduate degree. And my mother, who of course had been with me the whole way along from the moment I was born, of course, to that particular point, seeing as how I never really moved away from home, because I lived in my parents' home, except when I was in college, and then moved into my own home with Heather. So I've always been at home. I've never lived away, really. And so she was there for those years that were really difficult. Years of squandering not just money, but ability and talent and opportunity. And she'd somehow had to watch that and live through one of her children on a self-destructive, or at least an unhelpful path for a long time. And yet, she lived long enough to see that change, to see me moving in directions that were positive. They were making the most of opportunities that were there for me. She said, "This passage of Scripture is for you." And she quoted it to me, and it wasn't a passage I was familiar with at that point, but I certainly am now. And she said, "God is repaying you for the years the locusts ate." Because there are a lot of my years that the locusts ate. Years that I look back on with, if not a physical wince, at least a lot of regret. But I sort of wish I could have back again, but if I wouldn't have gone through those, I wouldn't be where I am now. And God has richly repaid those days. Because payback is sometimes wonderful. When the locusts were chewing up everything that I had and everything that I was, my prospects were at best limited. Much of those years working in dead-end jobs, being in toxic relationships, as I think they're now described. I don't know what we would have called them back then, except it was just, wow, did you ever pick a bad one that time? And I'm guessing both sides would have said that about the other. And the locusts were just chewing up everything. When you're stuck in those kinds of situations, or at least you feel you're stuck, you have no hope, you have no optimism, you have no direction to go. You think, well, this is just life, and it's not that great. And part of this payback has been God saying, "I'm going to take those experiences you had, those opportunities you missed, and I'm going to turn them into something extraordinary." Which he did. He does, and he will. One of the best gifts I could provide when I was counseling students, helping them see what direction they could go when I worked at the college and seminary, one of the best gifts I could give a very small group of students was the hope that those years that they looked at as wasted weren't a barrier to their success. You could see the physical change. I've told you about this kind of thing before, but you could see the physical change in people sitting in my office worried about whether they'd be successful or not because they dropped out of high school. And I'd say, no one in this room finished high school. They'd look at me and they'd say, what? I said, I dropped out of high school. I was a foolish person then. You know, I wasn't unintelligent, but I was certainly foolish. And I dropped out of high school, but look at me now. Look where I've been able to get. You know, this isn't the end of the world. And they would sit up straighter. And they would look towards the future with a completely different set of eyes. And when I think of that, I say, that's God repaying a locust-eaten year. Which he did. In oh so many ways. Because payback is sometimes wonderful. God is well aware that sometimes things are lost or stolen. Sometimes they're thrown away. They're gone. And it's true, there are some things that once they're gone forever. But the fact that a particular thing is gone forever, whether it's a physical, tangible thing, or whether it's an opportunity, doesn't mean that what that means is necessarily lost forever. I lost my opportunity to graduate from high school. But I didn't lose the opportunity to go beyond high school into further education. It was trickier for me. And that's the thing I told my kids when they were struggling with high school. It's just what everybody does. And as I'm sure I'll tell Neela and I'll probably tell my grandkids, not finishing high school doesn't make anything easier. It might not close any doors, but it doesn't make opening any of them easier. So stick it out is the message I gave to my kids. And they did, and I'm very proud of them for that, because there were times in high school they didn't want to keep going. They thought, I'll just get a job and all this. Those opportunities for me and for all of us in one way or another that we didn't grab, that we look back and we say, if I would have done that thing that year, lots of things would have been different. And they would have been. But the positive outcomes that we could have achieved that way are not denied to us because we missed that opportunity. Because God says, I will repay. Because it's God who's saying this in the book of the prophet Joel. It's not Joel saying this. It's not some guy saying that, yeah, you know, what goes around comes around, or something equally trivial. God is saying that there are years for just about all of us that we look back on and say, that was just a locust year. And when we look at it just in that context, when we look at it from just the perspective of that year, we say, this is just nothing. This is just a waste. This was just destruction in every direction. And it's true. When the locusts came and ate everything, everything was eaten by locusts. This isn't some kind of imaginary or metaphorical use. This is God saying there were times when the crops you wanted to harvest to eat were eaten by a plague of locusts. And when the locusts come and eat your crop, it's gone. And so it's not when God says he's going to repay, it's not that God is going to go back in time and change things. It's that God is going to restore you to a similar situation that you would be in now if the locusts hadn't eaten. But the thing about God's repaying is that it's even more than that. It's not that it's a one-to-one correspondence. It's that it's all of what we would have had and more besides. I didn't finish high school, but I even finished grad school. I flunked out of all kinds of classes in high school, including one that, in my defense, I did think I had dropped physics. But I have a 10 That's a percentage, not a 1 out of 10. I have a, on my high school transcript, I have a class that I got 10% in because I had thought I'd dropped, so I never went back. So anyway, there you have it. I graduated with high honors from college and honors from grad school. This little pin is a pin that you get if you're a member of the International Honor Society for faith-based, confessional-based undergraduate institutions. That's being repaid. It's not giving me back those years in the sense that I've lived them over again and finished high school, but it's repaying them in different ways. And even when we go into the New Testament, when we look at our gospel lesson, and we look at this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, a story that Jesus tells. And he tells it in response, I love the way the New International Version puts it, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Jesus tells his story of the Pharisee who says, look at me, I am really extraordinary. And not only am I extraordinary, I'm way better than that guy over there. And that guy over there is the one who's praying, not even looking to heaven, beating his breast in despair and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What does he get? Jesus says, I tell you that this person, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. That's another kind of repayment. The tax collector's coming before God in humility with an, because the tax collector isn't making things up. The tax collector isn't saying something that isn't true. He's saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He recognizes who he is before God in a way that the Pharisee does not. And what the Pharisee is saying is not necessarily untrue when he says, he fasts twice a week, I'm sure he does. And the Pharisee says, I give a tenth of all I get, I'm sure he does. But he's missing the point of prayer. And because of that, he just goes home. The Pharisee who deals with the reality, or the tax collector who deals with the reality of who he is, and says, I am a sinner, and I can't do anything to fix that. Those prayers directed towards God, those are the ones that are paid back with justification. This humble man, this tax collector, is the one who goes home justified before God. Justified before God, made right before God because of an authentic recognition of what was going on in his life, and that he was a sinner. You notice that the tax collector doesn't say, I was cursed with a bad upbringing, so I didn't know what to do. It wasn't that I made bad choices, it's that I had no choice, so I just did what the only thing I could do. And perhaps sometimes that's even true, but that steps away from what's going on and the actual issue. What the tax collector is saying is that I recognize that without God, I have nothing. I'm a sinner. And so I need mercy. I'm not purchasing anything from God because we can't. If there's any paying that goes on, and repaying, God's the one who does it. It's God's grace that pays us back. It's God's grace that opens the door to turning these experiences, these losses, these acts of betrayal, all of these things, it's God's grace that takes them and turns them around. Often when we think of who we are from the perspective of this tax collector and we think, God have mercy on us, we're a sinner, and we think, well, what's God going to do about that? Well, God's paying of that is going to be judgment. Because that's probably what we do. Or probably what we think other people would do. But God pays us back out of grace, out of the unmerited favor from Him to us, because we can't earn it. God's the one who looks at what needs to be paid back and then does it. It's God who looks at those years that the locusts chewed up, who looks at the authentic cry of our heart when we realize that we are in a predicament that we cannot solve, that we cannot address the reality, the fundamental reality of fallen human beings, sinful human beings, living in a fallen world. But in this parable, Jesus reminds us that God can do that. And He will. And if we want to keep it in the language of paying back, God repays our honesty with justification, with grace. Payback. It's not an unpleasant thing, no matter how many times you've seen it on a bumper sticker or had somebody say it to you when they're talking about a story where somebody gets what they deserve. Payback is from God's grace, because of God's grace, and through God's grace. Amen.